question. So I think in the mind precept, particularly the tenth precept, ignorance meets wisdom. So, you know, where does you probably explained it, but maybe I'll just ask again.
Yeah.
Where does where does that stop, and where does it start to become unskillful in that particular case? Could one not say that if you break the tenth precept, what you're doing is behaving as a result of ignorance?
Yeah. I need to say a little bit more to make it clearer. But from the Yogacara perspective, there's an aspect to views which is not unskillful. It's not skillful either. It's just pre-moral, if you like. Because it doesn't, of itself, necessarily give rise to greed and hatred. So in other words, The unskillful is defined entirely in terms of greed and hatred. In terms of the kleshas.
What you do with the manas.
Yes, the moral problem. The moral problem is what you do with the manas, you're right. What the manas leads you to do, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's quite an important point, really. And I again, to me, quite a almost liberating insight that it offers. Because sometimes you can get the impression that there's a sort of almost like a Buddhist original sin. And it's saying there's an original ignorance, but not sinful. Yet. I think there's somebody else.
Can I just ask about the part of consciousness?
The outer consciousness, yeah.
What do you mean by outer consciousness?
Well, they turn out towards the world, if you see what I mean, so that the six senses are directed towards the objective dimension of experience. So they're outer in that sense, whereas the alaya and the manas are more to do with the inner dimension of experience. It's not entirely true, but anyway, more or less. And
in a way, I just find it difficult to get an idea of outer consciousness. Like, it just kind of makes...
Sure.
It emphasizes some kind of dualism.
Sure. Yeah. I think that strictly probity means evolving. So it's more to do with the outer limits, so to speak, of the evolutions of consciousness. That is, the transformations of consciousness, or the evolution as a value. This consciousness unfolds, and that's the outer limit of its evolution. If I can get out of it that way. Although there is a sense in which if one's talking in terms of an inward perceiving dimension and an outward perceived dimension, the six sense consciousnesses identify the outward perceived aspect. Yeah. But yes, there's not an implication that there is, as it were, a real inside and a real outside. But you can't but use some sort of dualistic language.
Isn't it the five senses that do that, and the sixth one is like the frame of reference for it?
Well, the sixth one also can reach out to objects. It has its own objects, or apparent objects. So we have to start, according to Yogacara, or our main effort needs to go... at the level of the pravritti vijnana. And that means working, first of all, on the gross acquired veils. So the veils are to do with attitudes, emotions, and cognitions, views, understandings. And those exist at the gross level, have been acquired and exist at the gross level in our behavior and our thoughts. And it's there that we have to start, so that you have to deal, first of all, with gross, unskillful behaviour that manifests in an obvious way, hatred and greed. The precepts, you follow the precepts in their basic formulations, so that you minimise the extent to which you're accentuating the unskillful motivations that rest upon your mistaken understanding of things. So, yes, you work on the klesha side, that is the moral side, by trying to act skillfully, trying to apply the precepts, so that you get more and more of a breathing space, if you like, from the solidifying influence of the alaya. Do you know what I mean? Because your actions are conditioning the new arising of the alaya. And so if you try to restrain yourself from a gross manifestation of kleshas, then you are putting, at least not putting a negative spin upon the alaya, and if possible putting a positive one. So it's not just a question, of course, of refraining from unskillful action, but of trying to engage in positive action, skillful action. On the side of Nyaya, what's involved is trying to clarify your ideas, trying to sort out your thoughts and attitudes in that sense. From a traditional point of view, it would be really trying to learn the dharmic perspective. It would be Shrutamayi Prajna, the wisdom that comes from hearing. So that first of all, you try to just think in a sort of dharmic way and apply dharmic principles to your own understanding, and try to sort out your confused ideas and impressions, get rid of acquired notions and so on. So, you know, it might involve getting rid of previous religious conditioning, for instance, you know, to the extent that that was some kind of barrier. It might be getting rid of certain kinds of social conditioning, certain kinds of psychological conditioning, which lead you to have views and habits and attitudes. You know, it might be that you've got an attitude that you're no good, that you can't do anything. You know, a person like you can't really make much progress. So you might need to deal with the attitude at that much of a personal level. Or it might be just in a more broad way that you believe that, you know, there's only so far that you can develop, you know, that you bump into God and that's that. Not that everybody who believes in God thinks like that, but you might have that sort of idea. You know, in India, for instance, is getting rid of caste ideas. And you can think of lots of examples, no doubt. There's all sorts of ideas that one has that stand in the way of one's own spiritual practice and spiritual progress. And the traditional way is through studying the Dharma, listening to the Dharma, studying it. But of course, that doesn't mean just, you know, kind of parroting it. It means really thinking deeply about it and applying it to yourself. And I think probably for us, that's a much bigger task than it was in traditional societies where life was fairly simple and, you know, there weren't many cultures all coming together and a huge cultural ferment. So for us, probably the clarification of ideas is a much tougher project than we often realise. And getting to grips with our attitudes is much more difficult than we realise. So you work on that side of things, on the Nyaya attitudes, and that is already modifying the alaya. So the alaya is less conditioned by fixed and rigid attitudes and views, and therefore manifests a new structure of conscious experience in a more fluid and open way, less hemmed in by the influence of past attitudes. So that's the gross veil. Those are the gross veils that one works on. You're trying to get to grips with your attitudes and ideas. You're trying to get to grips with your behaviour and to try to make them both align more and more with the fact that there is only experience, that there is just experience. And for the Yogacara, this is actually working with the view of experience only, so that you'd apply the idea of experience only to your practice of the precepts. You'd apply the idea of experience only to your attitudes and views. You try to work that out. Yeah?